A message held over from last week, Christian living, are you satisfied in the Spirit? Satisfied in the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? And I want to take a few moments just to review what we went over last week. We started out with John chapter 7. And he's saying on the last day, the great day of the feast. Well, it's really the eighth day. The 7 days prior to that were the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was one of the things that commemorated was wandering around in the desert for 40 years and how God took care of them. And that's why they would live in booths. Jerusalem would be filled with pilgrims and just rejoicing in how God had provided for them. This was one of the feasts where all the men of Israel were required to attend. And so it was just packed. They would be singing and rejoicing and giving of thanks. Every day there would be a procession from the Pool of Siloam where the priest would take in a golden pitcher water. And he would take it to the temple and pour it out on the altar of sacrifice. And it would, one of the visuals of telling everyone, God provided for us in the desert. He did not hold back anything from us. We were completely taken care of. Now, on the eighth day, they did not do that. And so here Jesus is on that day standing up and saying, you've just gone through these 7 days. Are you satisfied? Do you like the way everything is working out? You've been taken out of the wilderness. You're here in the nation of Israel, and yet you are under the thumb of Rome. Are you satisfied? Jesus told everyone, come, if you're thirsty, come unto me. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So he's making an appeal to them and saying, you've just seen 7 days of the water being poured out, how God has provided. But yet now we're not doing that today. What is it that's satisfying you? Are you convinced? Are you convinced that Israel is the promised land? You've been taken out of wandering in the wilderness. You've now been brought into the promised land for these hundreds of years. Are you satisfied? Is this all there is to it? Or is there a messianic kingdom coming? And of course, they all said, that's right. That's right. There is a kingdom coming. That the Messiah is going to be set up as king over. And so he's speaking concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. And so this moment in Israel 2,000 years ago, if you were there, you would say, you know what? They've been talking about Jesus as being the Messiah, possibly. In fact, some of the people were saying, is the Messiah going to do more miracles than what he has done? I mean, he fed the 5,000. So all of these stories of healings and miracles were being put through all of Israel. And they were talking about him. And they were coming to the conclusion, you know what, this could be the Messiah. Obviously, the leaders did not want to hear that. And so the people were being careful about how they were speaking. But if you were there 2,000 years ago, what would you be thinking? You would say, you know, I'm going through my life. I'm going through all of these religious activities. I'm going to go back home and work, and Rome is going to come. The Romans are going to come, and they're going to exact taxes out of me, and it's just a heavy burden. This is the promised land? This is all... Maybe I should be looking for the Messiah. John the Baptist said, prepare your heart and look for the Messiah. So Israel at this time, if you were living there, would be in a time of being turned up religiously, spiritually. And that's what the Lord does in people's hearts and lives with the gospel that he has called us to preach. As we preach this word, it is the power of God unto salvation. It affects people's lives when this preaching goes forth and says, you're guilty before a holy God. You need his forgiveness. That's what we looked at last week. You're satisfied when washed clean from your sin and guilt before God. There is no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is nothing that can condemn you when you've been washed clean of all of your sin. And we had a great testimony this morning from Priscilla Whedon, Jose and Myrna's daughter. And I want you to see this right now, of a great confirmation of the Lord's work.
A lot of you may know me as Jose and Myrna's daughter, Priscilla. I've been coming to church at the Rock since I was a young girl. As a teenager, I was rebellious to my parents. I grew up thinking with an attitude. Christians thought they were perfect with no sin. My rebellious ways led me to be pregnant at the age of 19. I thought I had to fix this situation by getting married. But when I look back on it, I realize I wasn't ready for a marriage. At this time, I went on to have 2 more children. I thought my life was fine. I would think to myself that I didn't need to give my life to Christ in order to be happy. Everything was working out until a few years down the road, our marriage fell apart. Eventually, we separated and went our own ways. Believing this was my new life, I started partying and drinking almost every weekend. I was looking for excitement. Instead, I felt so empty with no self-worth. My life began to spiral out of control. At this point in my life, I felt lost, depressed, confused, and didn't understand why my life was turning upside down the way it was. My parents began to take notice, and one day they sat me down, and my father asked me, "Are you a good person?" I knew this was a test from church. When he was done, I told him, "I know I'm not a good person." And he responded, "Then what is holding you back?" That's when I realized I was guilty of God's laws. And if I was to die, I would be separated from God for all eternity. That entire week, I kept asking myself that question over and over. What is holding me back? Then one day, I was driving, and a song called "Who Am I" was playing on the radio. These lyrics were so powerful, it spoke to my heart that day. I became broken and convicted of all my wicked ways. I then realized I was in love with my sinful, wild lifestyle, trying to cope and fulfill an empty void. I couldn't keep living this way. I was miserable in my sin. That's when I cried out to God and repented of my sins, surrendered my life to the Lord in that moment. God has truly restored my heart. I now seek him first in everything I do. I am no longer in bondage to my sin or have the desires to fulfill the lust of my flesh. As it says in Romans 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I have truly been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. Filled with the Holy Spirit within me, I cast all my troubles onto Jesus and trust in him with my future. There is an unexplainable peace and joy in my heart. As a new born again Christian, I am learning how to fight temptation with the power of Christ and his word living within me. I stand in victory with the Lord. I now accept the fact I am a single mother and I found my identity in Christ. I am now My responsibility now is to raise my children to know the Lord so they can give their lives to him as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Sit right here. Put your right hand on your nose. Yep. Amen. Priscilla Wiegand, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your commitment to follow him, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's satisfaction being clean from sin. It doesn't matter your situation in life. It matters, am I alive before the Lord? Do I have the Holy Spirit within me that I'm drinking deeply from? And that only happens when you surrender through repentance and faith. Amen? You're satisfied when you're freed from the law of sin and death by the Holy Spirit. You look at this and say, laws have effects. The law of gravity here on earth has a tremendous effect on me in being able to dunk the basketball. But if you transported me to the moon, I could dunk, and it would be a lot of fun. I wouldn't have the law of gravity that controls the earth. On the moon, I would say, bring it on. Because for some reason, that law there is not as strong as the law here. Well, when we're freed from the law of sin and death, as it talks about there in Romans chapter 8, that is a satisfying moment to realize that the law of sin and death does not have control in my life. Because the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You're satisfied when the requirements of the law have been fulfilled through the new birth by the Holy Spirit. New birth, as Jesus spoke of in John chapter 3, verse 5. He said, we have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Unless that happens, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm satisfied when all that God requires for my life has been taken care of. And the Apostle Paul emphasizes again, it's for those who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, you walk according to the Spirit when you have been born again and you have received all the Holy Spirit at the point of conversion. Then you have life to go on. You're satisfied when the Spirit grows His fruit in your life. There's a wonderful satisfaction when you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of that is one fruit. Those are not different fruits. That's all one fruit. And so you have the Holy Spirit controlling you. You are going to have that fruit growing in your life. You might say, well, I don't have enough patience. The issue is you're not surrendered to the Spirit of God. If you're alive in Christ, the Spirit of God lives within you. You have to choose each and every day to surrender to the Spirit of God. And we all say, well, surrender, what does that mean? Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Am I going to be wise and be controlled by the Spirit, or am I going to be unwise and be controlled by what? Drinking, anger, drugs, sexual immorality. I can be controlled by a whole lot of things. But the Lord says, don't be controlled by wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I do it by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. I have God's word in my heart, encouraging others. I'm giving thanks all times for all things. Do you have that experience in your life? I'm making sure that I am submitted to one another in the fear of Christ. That's an attitude of saying, I've committed myself to the local body, and I'm going to encourage and build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where satisfaction comes from, when the Spirit of God is controlling and growing His fruit in our lives. Well, we're going to look at some new points. First of all, are you satisfied by being able to say no to temptations? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't have any temptations. You're not alive. All of us face temptations. And you might not be aware. You might be giving in. I don't know. But are you satisfied by being able to say no to the temptation to sexual immorality, the temptation to anger, the temptation to demand your own way, the temptation to tell a lie, the temptation to be greedy in your heart? How do you say no to temptations and yes to holy living because of the indwelling Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul is working with the Corinthian church that is a mess. Their divisions, sexual immorality, taking one another to law. There's so many problems that they have. And he emphasizes, there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such is common to man. The next time you're tempted, don't say, oh, God, I can't take this temptation. Oh, God, you're presenting me with a temptation that is too much for me to handle. No, it's not. It is not too great. God has provided a way of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. Also, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through who? Through the one who lives within you, the spirit who dwells in you. So the next time you're saying, oh, this temptation is so great, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess it's just going to be part of my life. It's just going to be something part of my life for the rest of my life. No, the Spirit of God lives within you to give you the strength and power to say no to that temptation to sin and yes to holy living, yes to honoring God. There in 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul is coming to this point where he's saying to them, you're taking your brother to law and your sister to law and going to law against one another. Don't you know that you are going to judge angels? Don't you know that you're going to take responsibility to give judgment? And so here he is saying, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He's helping them to see, who are you right now in this body that is called the church? Are you truly alive? Are you treating one another like brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you acting like someone who has been radically changed by the work of Jesus Christ? He says, if not, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, but pastor, I can't help myself. I have to give in. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters, people who idolize other things other than God. Adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites. Oh, well, you know what, pastor? That's just the way I was made. I was made this way. Every time someone says, I was made a homosexual, that's the way God created me. What do I say to someone who's a thief? God made them a thief? No, they're not a prisoner to that. God wants them to be free. He didn't make us thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. And so you can plug in any pet sin you want and say, I can't get over it. This is one thing that, you know what, this is my besetting sin. No, it is not. You can cry out to the Lord and say, if indeed your spirit lives within me, I have all that is needed to say no. Such were some of you. But what happened? You were washed. Were you washed of all your sin? Were you sanctified? Were you set apart now unto God? Were you justified? Were you declared to be righteous in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God? The Spirit of God was there at that moment of salvation. You have nothing you are lacking to live a life that should bring glory and honor to the Lord. At that moment of salvation, was it when you stopped, like Priscilla said, I realized I loved my sin? What happened when you came face to face with making a decision with Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ? Lord, I'm wrong. I love my sin. I'm on my way to hell. I'm drinking of the sewers of this life, from the sewers of this life. I repent, I turn away, and I put my faith and trust in you. At that moment, he gives you his Holy Spirit. you lack in nothing to confront the temptations that face all of us. Are you satisfied with the Spirit giving you boldness to witness to Jesus? Uh-oh. You might say, well, Pastor, that's not my style. I'm shy. You know, I'm not that good of a speaker. I don't like to talk about controversial subjects. Join the crowd. Nobody does. But this is not a controversial subject. This is the subject of life for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends. Where are they going when they die? You might be here today hearing and listening this and saying, you know, I wanted to come to church today to get a little pick-me-up, and you're confronting me with my love of sin. Yes, I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. I want you to stop and say, I need to get serious about eternity. And there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior. You can go to any other religion. You will not find another Savior. It's only in Jesus Christ that you will find salvation from your sin and from your guilt. I like this passage here in Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul has been going through the armor of God, and that we're going to go in the power of the Spirit forward against the enemy. And at the end of this, he says, you need to be praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all the saints. And then what the Apostle Paul says in that next verse is, and pray that I will have utterance to speak the mystery of the gospel in all boldness. The Apostle Paul had to ask the church at Ephesus to pray for him to be bold. He went all over the world. He faced death when he went out and he preached the gospel. And he's asking them for boldness, to pray for him to have boldness. Maybe we should pray for boldness. Maybe each and every day we should say, Holy Spirit, work in my life so that I can be bold today to proclaim the mystery, what has been hidden all the way up until you died on the cross. Now, you might say, I don't know what I'm going to say. Are you truly alive in Jesus? Has he truly freed you from wickedness? Now, When you have to talk to somebody about a new car or some other appliance that you have or some other item that you have in your home, and they say, hey, how do you like this couch? How is it held up? And you are thrilled with it. Do you say to them, I'm shy? You don't do that. You say, this is fantastic. All the other couches my kids destroyed, this one they can't destroy. The stains, when they spill something on it, pours right off. It's like no one can hold you back. It's like you're going right for it. You're bold because you know about this sofa. Do you know about what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Are you excited about it? Why would you hold back? When you see that there's an absence of life, eternal life, and that they're on their way to hell. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So pray that. Pray that for me. Pray that for other people in the body of Christ. Pray it for yourself. Why? Because there is no greater satisfaction than when you have been free to talk to somebody about what matters most. A relationship with Jesus Christ for all eternity. That's what matters most. And it's so wonderful when you're done talking. I love it when I'm in conversation with many of you here in the church and you say, you know, I was talking to my friend at work. And you want to tell me the story. It's exciting. I want to hear the story. Because that motivates me to make my own stories, to go out and have my own stories. Because there is something deeply satisfying by fulfilling what I am supposed to be. I'm to be a witness for Christ. If you're not doing your job, if you're not doing your ministry, are you satisfied? No. You're not going to have satisfaction. You're going to begin to shrivel. Drink deeply of the Spirit of God so that you can proclaim the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied being helped in a time of weakness by the Holy Spirit? This is something that none of us have a hard time relating to. Weakness. We're going to see that it's the word asthenia in the Greek, meaning feebleness. Feebleness that can be due to disease or hard times or suffering. Romans 8 talks to us about that. But he goes on there in Romans 8, after he says that we're suffering, we're in a time of suffering, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, our asthenia, feebleness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Isn't that incredible? Are you satisfied in the Spirit, knowing that he's interceding for you when you are at your weakest? You're at a moment of being feeble. The Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. You face moments in life where you don't know what to say. You get down before the Lord and you, I don't know what to say, Lord. I'm hurting. I'm just weak. It seems like everybody around me is successful. It seems like the world is passing me by. It seems as if I'm a loser. The Spirit of God is going to work in your life if you say, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Intercede for me. I don't know what to say. You might find your innermost being just groaning. Let this Holy Spirit pray. You know, as I look at this, I think of the Apostle Paul when he was taken up to the third heaven, right? And he said, the revelations were so great, God gave me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He gave me a thorn in the flesh. He gave something that would make me weak. And the Apostle Paul prayed three times, Lord, deliver me from this. And three times the Lord said no. Now, I don't know. Maybe the next time you're weak, go to the Lord and ask him to take it away. Do it three times. Maybe after the third time, you ought to stop. Paul did. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Is the Lord's grace sufficient for you? His divine power in that moment of weakness, is it enough for you? Or will you say, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to feel feeble. But through our weakness, his strength is made perfect, isn't it? His strength is made perfect in weakness, in our time of feebleness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in my feebleness, that the power, the dunamis of Christ may rest upon me, that the work of the Holy Spirit will be in my life. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities. Do you take pleasures in your weaknesses? When you're feeble, when you see that people are advancing in this life here on earth, and you say, I feel so insignificant. When you have problems in your body, suffering in your body, do you say, oh, this shouldn't be happening? You cry out, oh, God, change this. You do it for three times and no answer. Do you take pleasure knowing that his strength will be made perfect in your weakness? In reproaches, people mocking you for following Christ, people mocking you for giving money to the church. You could tip them off and say, it's not my money, it's God's money. He owns everything. in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I have all of this temporal weakness, all that makes me feel as if other people know more than I do. Other people's children are better than mine, which is a lie. Some kids in public just, you know, they might act a little better. But I will tell you this. All parents have a challenge with their children. And we're all working. But you could feel a little weak. You could feel a little feeble. But in that moment, His grace is sufficient. He's going to give you what you need in that moment of feebleness and weakness. Will you take pleasure in it and say, it drives me to the Lord. It calls me to surrender to Him more. It calls me to say, Lord, all that you have for me is enough. I don't want to look anywhere else. I'm going to press into you. Then I will have your strength. I love this passage here in Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In your believing. In your believing that you were once wicked and needed to repent. In your believing that it's Jesus Christ who paid for all your sin. In your believing that the Spirit of God comes and dwells within you and lives within you. In your believing, the God of hope is going to fill you with all joy and peace that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abounding in hope. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing that can keep you from experiencing satisfaction when you're in the midst of suffering, when you're in the midst of being weak, when you're in the midst of loss. When you're in the midst of saying, I don't know how I can go on. I am just so broken inside. But you stop and say, now wait a minute. This is when God's grace is sufficient. This is when His strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. I have been given His Holy Spirit. And by the power of Holy Spirit, I'm going to abound in being able to look into the future and say, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I'm in a win-win situation because through this feebleness, His grace is sufficient. People are going to be presented with Jesus. They're going to be presented with a Savior who meets you in your weakness. Maybe doesn't take it away, but instead gives you faith. Instead gives you strength. Instead gives you love. Instead gives you gentleness. Instead gives you self-control. That's what we want. If we're alive in Christ, we want to come to Jesus and drink deeply of His gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives to all who call upon Him in repentance and faith. You will not be left unsatisfied. You'll be satisfied perfectly. What is satisfying your life as a Christian? Right now, what is it that's satisfying you? Do you go through this message and do you say, yeah, in my time of feebleness and weakness, His strength is made perfect. His grace is sufficient. Do you say that when you have to witness? Do you say, yes, He gives me boldness to proclaim what He did in my life. I can share that with others. Is this the work that Jesus is doing in your life? Is this what is satisfying you? Review these points and say, Lord, I want to be satisfied in what your Holy Spirit is doing in my life and wants to do in my life. Because without that, I'm going to be someone who is filled with bitterness. I'm going to be someone who is ungrateful. I'm going to be someone who's taking my cues from others and saying, you know what? Maybe I need more money. Maybe I need another promotion. Maybe I need this new house. Maybe I need this special vacation. Maybe I need to have my children in a special school. Rather than stopping and saying, I am grasping after these things because I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling feeble in the eyes of the world. Maybe I should stop and say, His grace is sufficient in my weakness. Where are you? Are you alive in Christ? Then the Spirit of God dwells in you. And there is nothing lacking. And you can find perfect satisfaction in Him. I love that passage in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus says, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those who do are going to be filled. Those who do are going to be satisfied. Hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. He is going to direct you to the work of His Holy Spirit in your life. And it's going to be like a fountain of water bubbling up within you, giving you perfect satisfaction, even in the darkest of times. Father, I ask that in lives today, there would be an honesty about where the person is taking their satisfaction from. Is it based upon the indwelling, the presence of the Holy Spirit, or are they playing religion? Are they playing church, but not truly alive in You, Jesus? I pray that they today would be honest. And I pray that each of us as Christians would find our complete satisfaction based upon the work of the Spirit in each of our lives. I thank You for this, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.